And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Hall of Fame coach with Colorado Northwestern, Gary Barnett with us. And coach, were you putting like a Masters champion this week?
No, I wasn't putting like a Masters champion, but Scheffler was impressive in the Masters, wasn't he?
Unreal.
Yeah. You know, those two guys, Morikawa and Ober, hit it in the water on 11. You just knew, he knew right there that all he had to do was choke him out of it. He did. So he's such a good player. It's steady.
He's good. Now, I've whined to you about my putting, and I want to hear this claw method. Usually it's a wrestling move or wrestling. But you've got it for your putting go to. Is that how you're making your putts for dough?
Yeah, really. Since I've gone to claw, I'm a much better putter, and it's just tries to take your right hand out of it. And just there's a lot of guys using it on the tour, but go to Morikawa. He's probably the best. But you can just go online and see his putting style, or go to the claw putting style. You'll see it, and it's just, you know, you still have to rock your shoulders, mm-hmm. which is the key, but you get much less of your right hand involved, and you get more of a little pull on the putter instead of a push or a hit. A lot of people just hit at the putt. So that's my advice, Chris. Go take a look.
I will. I am going to log on here after the interview winds down, and I'm going to reform my putting. Now, it's got to get warm enough to go play this weekend. That isn't going to happen. Coach, I got to ask you about points. Points in the Big Ten, and what do you think is a number that's fair, that's reasonable, that can win you ball games? How many points of ball games an offense need in the Big Ten and in college football this season?
Well, because it's such a complimentary game, mm-hmm. it really depends on your defense. You know, what can you hold them to? You know, as much, I almost look at it the other way. What is it your defense is capable of holding most offenses to? And then you need one more point. So, I mean, to me, that's the way you look at it. Instead of how many points am I going to have to score? It's you've always got to score points. You got to score one more than the other guy. But the key is holding the other guy to as few as possible. So it just depends on how you view that stuff. But I don't know that I could give you a points on offense number. I'd almost say, you know, if you can hold everybody you play to under 20, you ought to be able to win games. Mm-hmm. To me, that's as much a key as anything. If you're going to look at points, it's so hard to control the points issue, I think, but it's not as hard to control the defensive side of it.
Coach, I want to talk about the quarterback competition, and it's looked better for Nebraska with some improved mechanics from Harburg. He's a kid that won five games last year, but more of the option runner threat. Both the freshmen have impressed for Nebraska. In some of the practices and scrimmages, how do you balance a good, pretty stiff competition mentality in that room where each guy wants to go win it, but they're also great teammates and helping each other out? It sounds too good to be true, but I think it's happening.
No, I think that's pretty typical. I think you get in there and guys, you know, they get close to each other and they root for each other. They really do. And it's not like me on the golf course where I'm hoping a guy misses a putt. You know, it doesn't work that way, because that's the only way I can win if he misses the putt. But no, you know, you're on a team and you learn so much about each other in those rooms and in practice, and you're really pulling for each other. And what happens is you push each other. And it's very healthy to have a room with three guys that are all trying to make each other better, and they're all there for the right reasons. So it's You know, I think that's just what you want.
Gary Barnett with us, a few minutes, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, there's been some blowback this week on social media towards Coach Prime. I wanted to get your take here. Social media is absolutely used for recruiting, but the fact that Shiloh and Shadur are busy on Twitter requests for, hey, send your film our way. Is Dion just doing it in such a different way? Folks are just getting their feathers ruffled here? Or what's your reaction here to some of the blowback or, I guess, side eye that's going on with how Dion isn't out there really kind of humping it on the recruiting trail?
Well, I think he's just completely different than anybody else that's out there. And, you know, I can't place an evaluation on it or a value on it yet, because you get judged by how many games you win, and that's just about it. And anymore, that's just about all that counts, because kids are moving around so fast. Graduation rates, things like that, don't mean anything. There's no accountability on it, and they don't mean anything. So Dion's got a different way of doing it, and you know, we're just going to have to see. You know, a couple years down the road, I mean, including this year, you know, whether it pans out for him, whether it's a viable way to do it. And so he's completely different than anybody else that's in this business as well, just because of his celebrity status and the fact that he's so well known. And there's nothing hidden about him, because everything's on a YouTube channel or a YouTube post. So, you know, everything about the guy that you could possibly know. And that's probably what he's saying. He's saying, I don't need to be in your house. I don't need to be your high school. You know, everything I'm about is out there. Check it out. So a different way of doing it. And, you know, when there's one guy doing it completely different, and that person's always going to draw the ire of everybody else, because, why can't he do it like everybody else? And why does he have to be different? That kind of stuff starts being questioned. So, you know, he's just different. And we're, like I said, let's see what happens.
What made you different on the recruiting trail? You did really good work in your time getting players. Was it your evaluation? Was it your honesty? What stuck out about you? What do you think? What would peers say?
Well, I would hope that it would be my honesty. I think there's also, I had a passion for recruiting. I had a passion for meeting parents. I had a passion for meeting teachers in the schools. You know, and I wasn't, when I first started, I was, you know, a young guy, and guys could sort of relate. But, you know, as time went on, I was, you know, I was their dad, not their brother. And that was the way I presented myself, and I held to that. And so, but I think that my strength was probably parental relationships, as well as the honesty piece of it.
What do you think Coach Prime's strength is? It seems like he's really good at wanting to do the right things, as in, you know, connecting, trying to help these kids grow up. Is that a fair take on my end from a far out view?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, his celebrity status, the fact that he was maybe the best player to ever play at that position, and all the things he's done appeals to a certain percentage of and type of athlete. And so I think that appeal, I think that what he says he stands for is also appealing, because it's out there, and you hear him talking about it all the time. You don't hear Matt talking about it. He's not on YouTube. Not everybody in the country hears what Matt Rhule's going to say, but everybody in the country hears what Dion's going to say. So he's just got a bigger audience, and he's taking advantage of that, is the way I look at it.
Coach, you are called to be on the College Football Playoff Committee when it comes to this expanded playoff. What do you value? Do you value more wins, or do you value strength of schedule?
Well, not to not to avoid your question, but it's got to be a combination. And I think that's what they're trying to get to, is a combination of that. And I think that by doing 12 teams or 14, whatever they end up with, is they're getting a wider variety of teams who have won more games and a little wider variety of people who've had better schedules. So, you know, where in the past you only have choice of four teams, mm-hmm. and you have to be very brief, specific, as we saw this year. But I think by going to 12 or 14 that you expand and you actually give yourself a chance to look at teams who've done one or the other or a combination. And I think that's why they really went to it. They wanted to be more inclusive, mm-hmm. of course, to include more teams, but more teams that play a harder schedule, more teams that win more games. And so I think that's the purpose of it. And if I were going to go beyond the committee, that's what I'd hope the committee would tell me our goal was, is to increase the numbers of both of those teams with better schedules and those who've won more games.
You're not going to be able to find too many teams willing anymore to stick their neck out, are you, from a strength of schedule out of conference standpoint? I mean, you're going to probably schedule more in-conference games in the Big Ten and the SEC because you've got so many helmet game choices.
Well, yes, probably so, Chris, but there's programs want to play the better programs. Coaches sure. want to play the better teams. They want to coach against the better coaches. Players want to play against better teams. And so you can't throw that out. You can't say that everybody's just going to go play an easier schedule, because sooner or later that schedule isn't going to exist. So, everybody's going to take up all the easy games. So I think it's a combination. I don't know. I think there's still going to be people that line up and want to go play the best early, because you really find out who you are. You don't really find out who you are playing teams that really struggle and you have no problems with them. You don't learn a lot by games like that. You don't get better by playing games like that. You get better by playing really good competition.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Barry Barnett's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, what do you think about the Buff transition back to the Big 12? I just saw the schedule. I know Nebraska week two, we're excited for it here. But just overall, how do you think the transition goes? Pac-12 was really good last year.
It's such a sad thing what happened with Pac-12 in all sports. And you know what, Chris? My contention is if Deion Sanders had been in the league a year earlier, that league would never have folded.
That's true.
But going into the Big 12, it's a different kind of challenge. They're not playing SC, they're not playing UCLA, they're not playing Oregon, they're not playing Washington, they're not playing Texas, and they're not playing Oklahoma. So people look at that, the average fan looks at that and says, well, they better do pretty doggone well because they're not playing the toughest teams. Well, there's pretty tough teams in the Big 12. Just maybe not as have the notoriety that those other teams I was talking about, but it's going to be interesting. I think it's probably, what I'm concerned about is them not respecting those teams in the Big 12 like they respected the teams in the Pac-12 or those six teams that I talked about. Mm-hmm. You better respect Iowa State exactly the way you respected Texas. You better respect Kansas now just the way you respected UCLA. So that's the challenge, I think, in the program in football. Basketball, you already know. I mean, Tad Boyle in basketball has got his hands full. He's going literally out of the hot pan into the fire with that conference in basketball. So it's, it depends on the respect factor that they take to all these games.
Gary Barnett. Coach, have yourself a great weekend. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Chris, great being with you. And look up Colin Morikawa's putting style.
The claw.
The claw.
Will do. And going to use the claw when I get back out on the golf course. The putting stance, not the drink.
So I was gonna say, my putting style, I think, I'm going to describe it as the claw. I just describe it as erratic.
I describe it as eyes shut, eyes wide shut.
I describe mine as bad.
Yeah, it's just awful. Have another vodka lemonade. Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio. Good stuff from Coach Barnett. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, where you can download the podcast, find and follow us on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Can watch the show that way and like and subscribe there. So the headline out of today's post-practice was from Coach Tony White and Nebraska. Really, the call-out, right? Matt Rhule calling out, and we had heard that when we talked about Saturday's scrimmage way back this week on Monday, that Rhule got after not only the team, but his coaches. And Coach Tony White was asked about that here, cut six, about getting checked by the head man.
You're never good enough. Now the really cool thing, okay, I'm going to say this because I don't think he'll say it, that, you know, after the scrimmage when we came back and watched it, you know, coach got on me because it wasn't good enough. You know, it just wasn't good enough. And so we went back and we looked, because this group of guys in the locker room, they do what you ask, man. These guys are blue collar. They make coaching fun, you know. So I looked at it and we went back as a defense staff and said, how can we do this? And so we tweaked some things on defense and explained to them, and I apologized to the guys. I said, hey guys, this is my fault. This is what we want to look like. This is what we want to do, and showed them. And Tuesday they went out there and they ran around with their hair on fire. And I was like, wow. Like, yeah, I think everybody's like, holy cow, like, what's going on? And then today, to start it off, they had the same attitude towards them. So I had to apologize to the guys. It was my fault, you know what I mean? And it was really fun to watch those guys, Jamari, Bullock, Giff. I mean, those guys, Keese, go out there with a little chip on their shoulder and fly around. So, again, you're never good enough. You're always tweaking something. You're always trying to challenge somebody. You're always trying to make sure that guys are getting better. And when coach jumped us for that, like, it was a great thing. You know what I mean? So we were able to redefine some things.
Pretty strong team and staff and group of players that don't take that the wrong way. Too many times you can't take critical statements when it is in the form of trying to make you better. That's healthy. And the way it's said and what is said is understood, but it's not out of the norm. I think this is good for the football program in a sense where it's within the scope of having the same goal to win a lot of ball games this year versus, dude, our guy got called out. What's Rhule doing? Or, you know, he just embarrassed me in front of my side of the football. What's up here? It could drift into that if you don't have a strong kind of backbone within the football team.
And part of that backbone is that consistency in your accountability, that whether you're a coordinator or a position coach or a starter or a starting quarterback that's making however much in NIL money this year compared to the walk-on that everybody's
held to the same standard. No one's above the law.
No one being above the law. It helps with that too. Like, you have to have a backbone in your enforcement in that the standard does not change based on if you're a coach, a player, a star player, a bench guy, a walk-on, everyone being held to the same standard. Feels less personal whenever you get called out at practice, whenever business. You look at another guy who maybe is making more in NIL than you, or a guy that is, you know what, he's a starter and you're on the third string, or he's a coach. They're all getting held to that same standard. They're all getting their butts chewed at practice. Makes you feel a little bit better about it because it's no longer I'm the one getting called out. It's, okay, you're right. Everyone in this team has a standard, and I need to reach that standard because I'm not there right now.
Well, you can accept it, take it, and get better from it. More from Coach White, cut seven here, as to why Rhule was pissed.
We got to play hard, you know. We want to, you know, we want to have the habits, okay? We want to create the habits of the best defense in the country, right? That's what we want to do. They have the best defense in the country. They have certain habits that they just, they run to the ball. They're physical. They don't give a crap. And they play with ultimate confidence. You know, and so that was the thing, you know, making sure that those guys are confident. Like, they're big, they're strong and fast. You know, they, from what Corey, Mitch, and Kristen has been doing with them in offseason, they know what to do. They've been sitting in meetings. Bro, go out there and play. Go out there and play. You know, no hesitation, no fear. Like, go play, and then we'll correct it later. So I think that's the next step, is to make sure that every guy believes, man, like, they are monsters out there, that they can just go out and play fast and physical, and then we'll correct the stuff later. But just go out there and put it on tape and let's see.
We'll have a couple more comments from Tony White here before the show winds down, and maybe sneak in some Riley Van Poppel. Reminder about getting buckled up. Coaches make substitutions during the game to get the best player on the field. Getting behind the wheel after drinking also demands a substitution. Impaired driving is deceptively dangerous. A message from the NDOT Highway Safety Office. Have you settled on seats yet, Elijah? Have you pulled the trigger for the Lakers v. Nuggets Monday night?
I'm sitting here. I've been sitting here.
It's been a two-hour ordeal.
The whole
segment.
I'm glad
you're not chintzy with spending the dough. It's a playoff game. I had a chance to go see a Stanley Cup game three, four years ago for Junior's baseball team out in Denver. I passed it up.
Still regret it?
No. Okay. We were in the low dough. It was a good time.
I've been sitting here in checkout the whole time. Should I press pay?
It's your money, brother. It's your money. We just expect pictures and you to sit by some really interesting people in the suite.